All right, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome. I am super excited and just honored to have Jared Brick here from Brick House Media. And I'm going to be picking his brain majorly today around crowdfunding. I know people that are very near and dear to my heart that have raised thousands and thousands of dollars using this amazing tool. My friend Cheryl, I was actually just having dinner with her before I got on this webinar, and I was like, I used you as an example. You made $25,000 crowdfunding. She's like, actually, it's $50,000. I was like, okay. It's like amazing. She used that to fund her last two music albums, and Brandon is my boyfriend and also a mutual friend of ours. And Jared helped him raise almost $7,000 for his book to get published. And I also have a client, an old client that started his business. It's a bidder's business, and he raised $12,000 with Kickstarter. So it's an amazing tool. I've seen the real results, and I can't wait to talk to you more, Jared, about all the tips and tools, because I know that you help people create those kind of results. And so I'm just going to quickly introduce myself, and then I'm going to hand it over to you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your expertise.
Yeah, please.
So for those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Stephanie Steidel. I am the founder of the Right Brain Entrepreneur and the Right Brain Academy. And what I do is I help people that have an idea that they're absolutely passionate about, that they want to bring out into the world as a business. I help people do that and bring their visions out into the world and create a thriving business and lifestyle. And what I find is a lot of people, what's missing for them is real lack of clarity on what their next steps are and a lack of confidence. There's often a lot of fears around taking that leap. And so I support my clients in doing that so that they can have that lifestyle freedom and really make a difference that they want. And I've been coaching for 10 years, and it's just been such a pleasure to work with my clients as they bring their dreams out into the world. And I'm such a nerd about it, like brain science and psychology. I bring that into my business model, and I've been on NBC, South by Southwest, TEDx. So it's just been a really humbling experience of my own to start my business. And, man, I wish crowdfunding was there. It wasn't as prevalent for me about 8 years ago when I started my business. So it's such an amazing tool to have now. And for those of you that have dreams, it's so much easier to fund your dream now that we have this amazing tool. So I'm not going to talk much more about myself. You can check me out at www.trbe.org. That's the rightbrainentrepreneur.org. And I'm going to pass it on to Jared. Tell us about you, Jared. You're so awesome. I think you're amazing. So tell us more.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's a really warm introduction. And Stephanie and I are good friends, and we've known each other for a few years now. And so when she asked me to do this, I was, of course, excited. I love to see people fund their dreams. I did this back in 2012, and I'll tell you about that. And it got me really excited about this. My background is in photography and video production, and I have my undergraduate degree in that from Boulder. And then in 2010, I decided to go and get an MBA in sustainable business, because I really felt like I didn't have the foundational support of business that I wanted, but I wanted a very unique style MBA where we learn how to create sustainability for people, planet, and profit in business. Because without profit, you can't keep your business funding and running. So that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today, is like, how do we get started with a new business? It could be a side project. It could be an entrepreneurial venture. It could just be something you're super passionate about. Or you could be a larger company and you might want to test something new and just see how the traction is for your consumers and a potential audience for the products. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. So my business is called Brick House Media Co. We're out in Oakland, California, right next door to Stephanie. And so we support businesses, founders, solopreneurs with getting started online, so creating digital assets, social media. We're very heavy on video and photography. We actually were in my production studio here at the Port Workspaces in Oakland right now, and leveraging all these new digital tools to help you grow. What our tagline is we help people transform from being an expert into a leader. So an expert is someone who knows a ton about one area in their life. They're very skilled, but they're not in a leadership role. And a big part of that is just online branding, online audience, online communication, so that we help you build all those assets out. And we typically work with businesses and entrepreneurs and professionals for 3 to 9 months at a time. But we also do strategic consulting one-off. So should we just jump right into this stuff?
I muted myself because I wanted to make sure that the camera would stay on you. I just want to double check. So just remind, I want to get started and just let everyone know that just joined you. If you join from a computer, you will have a toolbox and there's a chat box there. And go ahead and introduce yourself. And I just want to make sure that everyone can see Jared, because later on we're going to be switching him to the presenter, and he might be showing you some live campaigns or some examples that he's worked on before. And I just want to make sure that everyone can see him. I can see him, but I'm also the host. So if you can just let me know, just maybe someone chat in the chat box that, yes, you can see Jared.
Great.
No one's answered yet, but – oh, wait. So,
okay. I don't see anybody else in the chat box, actually, besides...
Yep.
I see Tim. I see Tim. Great. Okay. I can see Jared. Okay, good. So we're going to get started. We're going to make this... I can do a ton of help for you guys today. So I'm really going to try to make this as valuable as possible. That's what our business is all about, providing value to small business and owners and founders and startups. And so we're going to make this really compact, and hopefully you can watch the recording later if you didn't try to digest it all now. If you can't take notes, it's going to be a lot. But I also have some resources on our website. It's bhmedia.co/crowdfunding. So I put that into the chat, and we'll have that in here also. So if you don't get it all today, just try to absorb it now, and let's jump right in. So why crowdfund? Let's say you have a business idea. Let's say you have a personal passion project that you really want to get out into the world. So crowdfunding is a really good way to prove to people that this is something that people really want. It's something that people are excited about. It's something that people would put money into. And it's a way to get your idea and your project out into the world in a very public platform. It's a really public launch platform. I used it in 2012 to launch a sustainability mobile app called Trax. I used Indiegogo as a flex campaign. We're going to talk about what that means. And it really helped launch me. I got great PR. I got my first clients that way. It helped me get seed money enough to grow it to the level I needed to get to next. So it's a really great way to just launch your business into the realm of the public, get feedback, potentially get new clients and partners, and really take it out of your head, take it out of the drawings, take it out of the typing world and the digital world, and put it into reality. And so that's why crowdfunding is a really great way. It doesn't work for all projects. It doesn't work for every type of business, but it really does work well for things that, you know, consumer-based projects or, you know, B2C, business-to-consumer-based ventures that you're attracting. All right? So we're going to jump in. So if you are looking for, you know, side money, I really want you to think about how much you really need. Is it $5,000? Is it $10,000? $20,000? I want you to think about, you know, write down that budget. What are the actual line items cost that you would need to get you some reality around how much money that would be? Because we often have a sense of reality that's maybe skewed. Maybe you're seeing other campaigns get into the hundreds of thousands and millions or even $50,000, and you think, oh, yeah, I can go get that. So I really want you to think about how much would you need to create an MVP? And an MVP is the minimal viable product. So what's the minimal product you could get out there? Maybe it's a book or a film or a business that you need to get that thing launched. That's your MVP that you want to think about for the crowdfund. Now, some companies are doing tech products. Some companies are doing films. Some people have already built their product, and they just need to get it to market or get it into manufacturing stages. So everyone you see online is at different stages. If you're at the early stage and you're just trying to launch something from scratch, it's a really good idea to just budget that out with line items, because you're going to put that into the body of the campaign. Okay? So I prepared a couple of things today. One is the top 20 crowdfunding tips for success. So I'm going to kind of go through them, and Steph, just jump in and chime in if you feel like you want me to kind of go through that in a little bit more detail or depth, and let me know. All right. So the first one is, you're going to need at least 6 to 8 weeks of prep time before you go live. Okay? 6 to 8 weeks of prep time before you take a campaign live. The reason is you need to do some strategy work and some planning before you take this campaign live. You don't just run over to one of the websites, sign up, and go live. It's just not how it's done. So that's 6 to 8 weeks time. That's a minimum time. You're going to need to collect your assets that you're going to need, create a pitch video, create perks, which is the giveaways that you give with different price points in the campaign, and create a strategy around emailing and creating online assets like a website or social media channels. So that stuff takes time. It also takes a bit of know-how. That's the kind of things that we help with. So you're going to get one of, so let's say it's mid-August. You wouldn't want to go live until November, really. That's realistic. And then you also want to think of seasonality. Is everyone going to be getting hit with emails and marketing around the holidays? So you really want to time this out seasonally wise also. I have a question about that.
So have you found in your experience that there's a better time to do a crowdfunding campaign?
As far as the year?
Mm-hmm.
I would not time it around big vacation times. I would not time it around the holidays unless your product or service is related to the holidays. I'm going to say hi to everybody on Periscope because I know I'm looking over here. Maybe we'll move that guy around so it's a little more direct. We're also streaming live to Periscope, just so you know.
Yes.
Everybody.
Hi, Periscope.
Periscope.tv is a cool live streaming platform. And it's something I'm going to mention because if you're in your campaigns and you want to get press and PR and get it out there to the world, Periscope is a free service you can download to your app, and you can actually broadcast. Oop, just lost someone's camera. Looks like Shane's video is coming on. I don't know if you saw that stuff.
Nope, I didn't see anything.
Oh, okay. I lost. There we go.
Okay.
Okay. So the other thing we're going to talk about that prep time is you're going to want to try to raise 30 to 50% of your goal, let's say it's a $10,000 goal, before you go, or sorry, the first week of your campaign. So let's say you have a $10,000 goal. You're going to want to raise $3,000 to $5,000 of that within the first week of the campaign. Okay? That builds traction for other people to donate. People don't want to donate to a campaign that has very low money. So if you can get all your internal network to give to your campaign as soon as you go live, within the first 24 hours, 48 hours, or week, it will create great traction to try to hit that $10,000 goal and break it out of the park and even go above your goal. All
yeah,
right?
So it's that social proof kind of thing, right?
Yep.
You know, it's you know, if someone has more followers or more likes, it does make a difference in someone's mind. And same thing, if you can prepare enough so that in that first week, you can bang out 30%, then, you know, there can be lots of random people. I actually, Ian, who did his Bitters campaign, when I went to his Bitters, like, starting, like, launch party, there was a guy there from Alaska who randomly found him and decided to fund it because he likes to fund random things. But I suspect that in seeing that he was already doing so well, that gave him some more incentive to be like, this must be a really cool thing I should
take. Yeah. I work with a colleague who only works with tech products, only works with very sexy tech products that are going to launch online, and his goal is to hit 100% of their goal within the first 48 hours. And if he doesn't hit that 100% goal, then basically he doesn't consider that a success. And then they spend the next days of the campaign, usually a campaign is 30 to 45 days, ramping well over goal and getting tons of PR and press because they're doing so well. That was Flux Bikes, F-L-U-X Bikes, if you look it up. They hit their goal so fast. It was awesome. And I just want to mention that product campaigns around technology and service campaigns are very different. So if you're launching a consultancy or something like that that doesn't have an exclusivity of a product that people are going to get before anyone else in the world, it is a more challenging campaign right off the bat. I was launching a mobile app. We were giving away all these cool sustainability products with Trax, T-R-A-X, and I'll paste the link in. And it was a harder sell than actually giving someone a widget or a technology widget that's a really cool thing. So it's just, I'm going to just mention that up front, that when, and I just pasted in my Trax project, that was the first one I ever worked on. I wasn't a professional, but I knew how to do media, and I had a friend do my video for me, and so that really helped launch the project. All right, we're going to jump on to number three.
Okay.
I really think you should either hire someone or have someone else help you with the video. So your pitch video is very important. We all know how important video is nowadays. When people go to your campaign page, the first thing they see is your pitch video.
Yeah.
You want to keep it between 2 to 3 minutes, ideally, as short as you can. And we have an asset on our website, a digital download, that's called the Top 20 kicking steps to create a product video. So it actually goes through second by second one way you can create a product video. What you don't want to do is put your camera on yourself for 3 to 5 minutes and just talk. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Talking to the Periscope folks. Don't just do this for your pitch video. It really has to show what traction have you made, why are you passionate about this, if you have any testimonials, why are they great, why do they love your product, why are they excited for maybe to get your product, because maybe they have a pain point that they can't wait to solve. And that goes back to another point. Your project should solve a real pain point in the world. It should not just be something personal that you like that other people go, that's kind of interesting. You won't know that, obviously, until you actually find your audience that, you know, is attracted to your one thing that you're releasing. But if you can explain your project in 30 to 60 seconds to people, not just your friends, but people you meet, then good luck explaining it online and getting people to open up their wallets and fund you. So you should have a 30 to 60 second pitch that you can rehearse and give to people so they get it even when you meet them in person. This is in that 6 to 8 week window. You're doing this prep work. So by the time the video goes live, you've got that pitch down. People really get what you're about. They get your passion. They get the attraction you've made. They get the hard work. You've maybe invested years in this thing. And Brandon was a good example for a Purpose Revolution. He's invested years of this into his campaign. And that really showed. We did one campaign for Dr. Hop's Kombucha Beer, which is an alcoholic kombucha beer made in here in Oakland. And the first 30 seconds of the video is people drinking it and going, oh, wow, this is great. That's all it was, social proof for the first 30 seconds. And then you learn about the product, you learn about the founders. People are waving at me. So it's really cool to try all these things, get that social proof, and practice your pitch. Do you have any questions about that stuff?
I do. I'm like, yeah. I'm over here being like, this is
questions.
Amazing, this is amazing. So in my Start a Business You Love program, this is exactly what I hit home, is that your product needs to solve a problem. And I'm just so excited that you say that, because if it speaks to the heart of people who are looking for that solution, they're going to be more willing to contribute to it because it speaks authentically and hits that emotional, you know, pain point. You know, we all have different pains or different challenges that we want to have a solution for. So I love that you said that. And I don't know if I'm jumping the gun, but I would love to know, you know, we're talking about the 6 to 8 week prep.
Mm-hmm.
And like the kombucha beer, right? They already had some testimonials and some people trying that. How do you recommend
they
people?
They didn't actually. I'll tell you about that one. No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I will tell
you
the story about Dr. Hops and how that happened.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
I guess I was curious on your tips on how someone could test their product before they then put into crowdfunding. Because a lot of my clients, when they finish the program, they have the product and they are just about to launch it. And they might still need more funding, so they're considering crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm.
But they might need to test it out in the market first. And what do you think needs to be in place before they take it to the next level with crowdfunding?
Well, I'm going to use some, you know, we're out in the Bay Area, in the Silicon Valley area, and we're kind of used to this alpha, beta language of testing. And so, and we already mentioned what MVP is and that minimum viable product. So you're going to need to get some form of your product out to people early. And that could be 5 people, 10 people, get some reaction for them to use your product or service, whatever it might be. Maybe it's a film, a book, read something, give some feedback. See what's exciting about that. So you got to figure out for you and your project, because there's 1,000 different projects, you know, what is that thing that you can show to people, get them excited about it. Maybe it's a prototype. Maybe it's just rough drawings. I know for our mobile app, we mocked it up in Photoshop. There was no app. We just showed people what it would look like if we built the app, because we were raising money to build the sustainability action app for Action Heroes. So you really just want to put as much work into it to show some small group, that's that alpha test, to show that there is some traction around what you're building and they get excited about. And those people, you really want to know, well, who are you giving it to? You don't always want to give it to friends. I don't recommend you just handing it to friends and just, you know, doing it that way. I really think you should look for the target audience
that
you want to test and see what they think of it. So those could be some of your early testimonials. Does that help?
Yeah, that totally helps.
Okay.
That totally
so I'm going to, we talked about getting somebody to help you with the video. That can be either shooting it on the other side of the camera or just reviewing it and going, that's good, but I didn't really understand this. Or I didn't know what you meant here, and you jumped topics. And so just getting people to watch your video before it goes live. And that can be maybe a friend or someone you really trust their feedback, or maybe even a professional colleague. Doesn't have to be in the industry that you're releasing in. So Hannah asked a question. I'm going to jump in here. Should we be filing a patent before doing a crowdfunding project? So I don't know, Hannah, exactly what your product is. And a lot of people worry about, like, oh, what if I put it out there and someone steals it? The honest truth is most people are too busy working on their own stuff to steal your project or steal your product. That's really just the honesty in me talking. Now, a lot of people say, well, what if I need, you know, people talk about NDA and non-disclosure agreements, and it's just not how the world works anymore. Everyone's too busy working on their own stuff. Now, if you're very concerned about that, you may want to consult with a patent attorney before that, and maybe patent or trademark some portion of it. So depending on what your product is, you may want to go through some of that work beforehand, before you go live. And as I mentioned, not every product and service is ideal fit for crowdfunding. You got that, Periscope? I don't know who's watching on Periscope, so it's kind of interesting. There's this whole second channel out there.
Yeah. I'm just going to quickly interrupt. So I tried to mute everyone, but Tim and Hannah, for some reason, you're not. It's not letting me mute you.
Okay. Looks like their cameras are on. That's why.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. So I don't know. It might just be a glitch on my end. But if you don't mind just muting yourself for now, and that would be great. And
a little microphone button.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So I actually know. Really?
Yeah, I got to tell you the. I have to tell you Dr. Hopps' conversation
first.
Okay.
Real fast. I just want to let everyone know you should have a little microphone icon if you're on the computer, and you just press that, and it'll mute. You'll be able to mute yourself. If not, then no worries. It's down.
Yeah, I'm not hearing them, and I don't know if other people are hearing them.
Okay.
So
okay.
Dr. Hopps Kombucha Beer is a friend of mine, a friend of my wife's. He released it, and I saw it on Facebook. And I watched the video. It was a 5-minute pitch video of him and his founder just talking at the camera. Remember we talked about that? Don't do that for your pitch video. So I called him immediately, and I said, look, can I help you? Can I help you change this as soon as possible? Because I love what you're doing. I love the product. But what you're created in the video and the pitch is just not going to convert people enough. I was hitting – and if you're watching your own video or watching someone else's video and you're bored for big parts of it, then you know you got to do something and tweak what you're seeing in different content and testimonials. So he launched it on, like, say, a Monday. I called him on a Wednesday. By Friday, we had a shoot set up. We had people coming to drink the beer, and we set it at his home. And so I will paste this campaign. He hit over 100% of his goal with his product. I just pasted it in there, the Kickstarter. And so, again, I quickly grabbed him. We shot a new video, and it was awesome because when you look at the analytics of the campaign, you see this spike jump up the day we released that new video. And so it was immediate proof, and people just started contributing because they got that, like, oh, this really is a cool project, but they were just not engaged by the video. The video is pretty killer. So, again, keep the video 2 to 3 minutes, mix it up, talk about your traction, talk about how people love it, the problem it solves, and if you can get people to talk in their words about your product, that's gold. That is gold. And show it in action.
Yeah.
And show how far and how much you've invested in it.
Yeah, one of the things that I have my clients do is a whole bunch of market research before they create their product. And that I have them record their interviews. And the reason is because
like
the languaging that people will tell them, that's gold for use in your future marketing and branding. And this is a perfect example. If they're talking about a challenge and the solution that they're seeking, you can use some of that languaging in the video and it'll really resonate for them.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for that good insight and tip. I'm going to go quick because I know we got a time, and people's time is really valuable. And thank you all for tuning in here, by the way. It's really awesome. And I hope you share your project with us and we can start helping you from the get-go. And again, I'm Jared Brick from Brickhouse Media Co. This is Stephanie Stadel from The Right Brain Entrepreneur. And we're here to help in any way that we can. So definitely, if you want to post some questions or comments in there, we can kind of work that into our talk here today. So it's great value to you guys all immediately. So in my top 20, I'm going to jump to number 5. I want you to plan, so let's take a 30-day campaign. That's roughly 4 weeks. I want you to plan one secret or update that you know you're going to release every week of that campaign. So you have to keep people engaged, and you got to keep changing it up. So every week of the campaign or every 5 to 7 days, you're going to have a plan of what that update's going to be. And it could be a big funding, a big contribution that you got. It could be a partnership that contacted you and reached out to you and said, we really love what you're doing. Just something that's authentic and personal about the campaign that you can update people with, because those updates, they go to contributors and they go out to social media. So that's why I encourage people to plan that out if you can, or at least try to give yourself some kind of a topic that you're going to try to talk about each week in your campaign. So that's in the updates. So let's talk about platforms for a sec. So everyone knows about Kickstarter, Indiegogo, there's Fundable, there is a bunch of platforms out there, GoFundMe. So quickly, there's a lot of differences. I can't go through all of them today, but a big reason why people love Kickstarter is because it has a big audience. A lot of people are already watching Kickstarter. They're already signed up to get the updates. So it has a big reach. The bad thing about Kickstarter and a lot of problems with Kickstarter is that if you don't hit your goal on Kickstarter, you don't get any money. So if you have a $10,000 goal and you reach $9,800, you don't get a dollar at the end of your campaign, which for some people is heartbreaking. And some people, it's just demoralizing. Some people, it works out really well for. But I just want to give you another option. And a lot of people, why they like Indiegogo is because you have two options. One is called a flex campaign, where Indiegogo allows you to have a flex goal. So you have an open-ended goal that you're trying to hit, and you can keep up to, I think, 96% of that goal. They take a 3-7% fee for running your campaign for you. It depends on how much your goal is. So at least you get to keep 93-96% of your campaign, regardless of how high it goes. So that's why people like the Flex campaign on Indiegogo. The other one they just released, I think, a year or two, is called On Demand, which means you don't even have an end date. You can just keep your campaign running because you want people to constantly be contributing as you're iterating and improving your product. So those are two reasons why people love Indiegogo. I've also met the founder of Indiegogo. She's amazing. Their mission's amazing. I think they have a little bit more heart and a little bit more authentic integrity in their company, whereas Kickstarter, I feel like, is a little bit bigger, and they focus more on big name, big brands, big tech products. So a little bit of difference. There's also GoFundMe, which is kind of a personal campaign, kind of a more personal initiative. If, let's say, you need a money for a hospital bill, or someone in your family needs that, or a trip to see someone, or something like that. So I used it to help fund my business last December. I used a GoFundMe campaign. It was more of a personal pitch that I just sent to my personal network, and I raised a couple thousand to help me kind of into a new studio and buy new equipment for my business. So that's GoFundMe. And then there's also Fundable, which is for a small business. So if you're already a small business, I would recommend Fundable. FUNDABLE.com. Yeah. Do you have any questions about that?
Well, I just I don't know if you would recommend this anymore, because we have so many different platforms now. But Cheryl, one of the ways that she raised funds was just by putting a sponsor button, a PayPal sponsor button, on her website.
Nice.
How do you feel about putting it on, say, Indiegogo versus keeping it just to your website and to your followers? Is there a time when you'd want to do one over the other?
It depends on the project. It's hard to say. Like, obviously, the website would have to be developed. There would have to already be things happening on that website. And you have to try to get traffic now to the website. Right. One of the big reasons why people post on the crowdfunding platforms is because people are already there. There's already an audience. People are already getting emails and updates and social media from those companies. So it adds a little bit more social proof. But I had my GoFundMe on our website, so it was a similar thing. We had it in the footer of our website, on every page of our website. So it definitely depends on where you're at with your project and if you feel like that's the smartest strategic move to just put the link on the bottom of your website. So that wasn't for a crowdfunding project, was it? Or it was loosely.
So what she did was very unique.
Because a donate button is not really a crowdfunding project. It's just a donate button.
She did it a lot. It was fan-based. So So yeah, she's a musician, and she had built a list of several thousand fans.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, I want my next album to be a community project, essentially.
Yep.
And she had different perks. So for different parts of
She ran it herself, basically. She ran her own platform. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Just props to that. That's not easy to do. She ran her own platform with her own perks. So most people don't have the either no wherewithal, the list, the assets, the tools to build all that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, then that sounds great. And if you already have a list of followers in the thousands, then you really have some great potential.
It could also be a way. Yeah, it could also be a way to test it out. If you do have a list, if you're someone who already has a list and you've already started your business, you can soft test the new product that you're creating just to your list, see how many people sponsor, and then use those findings on the larger platform.
Yeah, and what you're seeing is a lot of the products you see online are they're not small businesses. These are startup companies with funding. Excuse me. They're using the platforms here to do market testing and see what products are going to do well. And then they're using that leverage to get more investment from their real funders. Because even the 100,000 or million for, say, Flex Bikes, they needed 5 million to go into production on a bike company. So it's a very expensive enterprise to make an electric bike company. So even though they raised over $1 million, it's not enough to go into production. So basically, they use that as social proof to show that there's a big interest in this. And they took pre-sales, and that's something we should talk about. You can pre-sell your product, which gives you enough seed money to, say, manufacture a book or a product. So you can do pre-sell of your product. And that's something you could do on your website. They were doing that on Flux Bike's website. They were pre-selling the bikes and doing the crowdfunding campaign together. So that's a cool project.
Yeah.
So I'm going to jump right in with two budgeting things. So one area you want to leave some money is for some PR releases. So I recommend at least 3 PR releases. PR is between $100 and $300 per release, and it goes out to media organizations, and you could geo-target where that goes. So you want to leave a little bit of that budget for that before the campaign goes live to announce it, during the campaign, and before the end of the campaign. So leave some of that budget in there for PR releases. I'm just going to throw that out there. The other thing I want you to do is leave some money out there for social media promotions. Roughly $100 a week at a minimum. It could be a lot more depending on how big you want to go with your project. And that's Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, Instagram ads, Twitter ads, Google AdWords if you want to try that. If you have no experience with this stuff, I wouldn't recommend it for the first time, and this is when you really want to work with somebody who's done all that work, like ourselves. We know how to create ads and, you know, push ads and find niche audiences. So save some of that budget before you go live for the online campaigns that you're going to need to promote.
So speaking of budget, if I may, you know, some of my clients are just starting, so and then there's others that are already established. But do you have a ballpark? Like, is there a formula of, okay, this is how much I want to make, so I need a certain percentage to put out, like, I'm not being very articulate. I mean, how much do you normally think, or a percentage of perhaps the sales that you're going to be making or whatever? Is there some sort of formula knowing how much you're going to need to invest prior to the campaign? Are you with me?
Sorry. Yeah, someone just passed me a note from outside and wants to meet up with me later, colleague here. Sorry, we're in a co-working space and people are seeing us filming and they're like, what's going on there? They're really excited. So I know for one budget, I would leave about 20%.
Okay.
You know, and it couldn't be 20, and remember, it can be 20% after you hit your goal. So a lot of the times on our management plans, we offer consulting, we offer training, and we offer management of plans. We'll take our percentage at the end of the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a small retainer up front, and then we'll build it into a percentage of the goal. So that we know that, you know, these businesses and these entrepreneurs, they don't have the money up front. So there's no point in charging them up front. So I would, you know, that's what the beauty of credit cards and the beauty of credit and the beauty of, you know, a little short-term debt, hopefully, because you are going to raise money. You can pay that back within 30 to 60 days.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, and I think you gave a good ballpark. Like what I'm hearing is maybe about $1,000 for PR and social media to boost the effectiveness of your campaign. And one of the things I always really try to drive home with my clients is we, in especially in this country, we have a weird way we relate to debt. And in business, you have to become friends with debt. You need to see it as investment. You need, there's good debt and then there's bad debt. And so knowing that, yes, I'm going to be spending $1,000, I might be a little afraid, but that's going to come 10, 20 times fold through your campaign. And to also get someone like you or whatever needs to be put into place to ensure that you'll be successful, but to understand that you do need to invest in order to create better results.
Yeah, there's very few companies out there with zero debt. I don't know of many, even the ones you hear about that have a ton of money, they have debt and they carry debt. So it's a good topic. And again, going back to the Dr. Hops example, they literally would not have hit anywhere near their goal if they hadn't invested up front with helping us with a new video and more strategy. And so it would have been wasted anyway. So now their company's live, they have the money to go live with. So it really is about, where can I best spend some money up front that has the most ROI and return on the back end? So it's true.
Could you use that? Yeah. And do you mind using that as an example? You said that when you first went for, it's Dr. Hops?
Yeah, Dr. Hops kombucha beer.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I put it in the campaign.
Okay.
In the comments, yeah.
So Dr. Hops, when you first went there, how much were they making? And then when you came in and used your magic tools, what did they end up, how much did that improve or increase there?
I can't remember the specific numbers, like off the top of my head. I just remember they were struggling to even break out the first $1,000.
Wow.
And one thing I recommend around money is leave a little bit of money in your own pocket. So if you get so close to that goal, you can actually invest in your own campaign to make sure at least you break your own goal. Mm-hmm. So that's another good strategy that most people don't talk about. If you get so close to your goal, you're in the 90 percentile, leave a little bit of money or have some a backer that you know will get you over that hump to hit 100%. Looks really good to hit 100%.
That's like a ninja trick for Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's a
right?
Stealthy ninja trick. Like you definitely want to have like a secret backer that's going to make sure you get over that hump if you get really close.
Nice.
And that's what we did with Conscious Company Magazine. They were struggling. They actually did a Kickstarter first and they didn't make it. And they decided they didn't hit that goal, right? They didn't hit that 100% goal. So then they relaunched on Indiegogo after we worked with them on some strategy. And so now they're live. Now they're in Whole Foods all over the country, which is awesome.
Oh, I've seen them. That's
cool. Conscious Company Magazine. I worked on their campaign. So, yeah, you got to be a little savvy. And this is all part of that media strategy that you do 6 to 8 weeks or more before you start a campaign. It is not go live, flip the switch.
Yeah,
just doesn't work like that.
So I want to give enough time for questions. So I'm thinking, could I give you another 10 minutes to share some?
Yeah, I'm gonna just blow through these then real fast, and then we can jump in and people can. So you got to have great perks that you're offering. It should be related, really enticing perks that people do want to pay for. It doesn't have to be the product that you're selling. It can really be a T-shirt. It can be something fun, something related, or just fun that has to do with your campaign. So perks. Another thing you got to think about before the campaign, what are your perks going to be? Find partners that maybe even give you some perks, like we did for our campaign. The next one is create a one-page website on your site. Make sure you sign up for a Weebly, a Wix, a Squarespace site, and have a one-page site, this is what Dr. Hops did, that at least has email sign-ups. Sign up to learn more in the future. So Wix, Weebly, Squarespace.com. Get a one-page site. It costs $8 a month. If you can't afford the $8 a month, you got bigger fish to fry. So don't even start this. Get on your feet first. Get a one-page site so people can start signing up with email at least, and you can have your social media channels: Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. The main ones, Google Plus.
And that's like the pre-campaign, right? To have
all
it
pre-work,
on your website.
All pre-work. Have all that pre-work stuff live. A little link that says to the Indiegogo or to the Kickstarter link right there on that one pager. It's a no-brainer. Please do it. Even if you're just launching a company, never go live on crowdfunding. Do that. It's a great idea. Just as you're building, get some people to have a domain that you buy. you know, claim the name, that thing. The other thing is maybe do a release party or maybe do a donation party in person, especially if you're launching something local. Like Dr. Hops, we did a launch tasting party in the middle of the campaign, and we had tablets and apps right there, and we take live donations, and we showed people drinking the beer and partying and having fun, and that was great, and we used that to create a second video. And again, we saw the traction jump because people online like watching other people enjoying something and using it. So live campaign, either the middle or the end of your before the end of your campaign, so that people can donate while they're there. All right, next one is take all your lists, all your contacts from LinkedIn. You can export your contacts on LinkedIn, your email contacts, and get them into like a mail program, or at least use your email program and let people know that you're going to be going live. So export all those contacts either onto your, you know, desktop, or just email people you know. Sometimes that creates a little bit of spam problems, I'll tell you the truth, in your own email software. So sites like MailChimp.com really help, you know, send out a blast email that's not going to list you as a spammer because you're sending hundreds and hundreds of email a day. So that lets people know that you're going live. Next one is get your pitch down to 30 seconds, as we talked about. If you can't explain it to people in 30 to 60 seconds and they don't get excited about it, keep refining that pitch. Keep coming back to, like, what's authentic, what is, you know, the message that people really resonate with. So really work on that before you go live. All right, ABS. Anybody guess what ABS is? Steph, I'm going to give you one guess here.
I was thinking of, like, irritable bowel syndrome, but then it was A, and I was like, no, that's not it.
Irritable bowel syndrome. But good. I just pasted it in there. Always be sharing. So every day of the campaign or every other day, you want to share something that's going on, a tweet, a Facebook update, a photo, something that's related to the campaign. It could be just you pointing the camera at yourself, going Facebook Live, Periscope Live, and just talking about where you're at in the journey. It could be an up day or a down day. It doesn't matter. Try to stay positive if you can, because people don't usually love negative. But if you can, try to stay positive with what it is and just always be sharing throughout the campaign. You cannot stop. It is a marathon. You're going to be exhausted by the end of it, and you're going to be really glad when it's over. You can't just stop at the end, okay? Or you can stop, but you can't stop during it. All right, so ABS, always be sharing. All right, 15, make sure you can afford your perks. Make sure you don't go into debt trying to, you know, pay people back for all these perks you're giving them, and you can't actually afford them, and you make no money, and you spend all your $10,000 on redeeming your perks because you want to, you know, be your word and tell people you're going to deliver on your perks. So come up with a spreadsheet of how much this stuff's going to cost. Include packaging. Include how much it's going to cost to mail things to people all over the country or the world. And you might want to build that into your perks. Like, we only ship internationally or domestically because it's going to cost you a lot to ship some of these products all over the world. So another ninja trick.
Is there a percentage that you think tends to be like the magic number of, like, you know, only put 20% of what you raise towards perks, or is it really just dependent?
It goes back to that budget that you really need to get this thing off the ground. Your perks should not be more than 20% of your total budget. Maybe 30% max if they're amazing perks. But don't forget, sometimes the perk is the product. Sometimes you're actually giving them the product. Like Flux Bikes, at a $1,000 level, you were getting the bike. And that was 50% off the retail price. So sometimes they're just giving a really great sale price to get product moving. So you won't make any profit on those, but you're going to get people using the product and show traction that they really like it. Next one is plan to spend money that you can pay back after the campaign. So get 30 to 60 net terms on payments for things. So maybe somebody gives you the perk, but you don't pay them for 2 months. So see if you can kind of barter those deals with people before the campaign for your perks. Okay, so see if you can get 30 and 60 net terms on payment back for those products, or see if you can get people to donate them or give you a big quantity for a large reduced price. Okay, around the perks.
I don't think it's a big deal.
People don't think about that stuff, you know.
I don't know if I'm following that. So tell me a little bit more about
so
that.
So let's say my campaign is this bottle, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to put, and the bottle is going to cost me $20, but I don't have the $20 today. So you're going to order your product, but you're going to get 60-day terms to pay for them from the manufacturer as your prototype. This is just your prototype.
I see.
So at the end of your campaign, you will have enough money to pay back your prototype. Okay. So that's one of those things about the payment terms. It's kind of a minute thing, and it has to do with product campaigns and just not going overstepping your perks. I think a lot of companies overstep their perks. They don't realize.
Yeah, and that's with the manufacturer, and I love that because a lot of times people think, oh, my gosh, I need to have 1,000 of my product made before I even launch. And it's like, no, like you just need the prototype. And then you set it up with your manufacturer, like you said, 30, 60 days, and you're good.
Yeah, and I have a campaign in my bag. I should probably get it. It took a year and a half to actually get my perk. Year and a half. Wow. They got caught in copyright issues with their trademarking. They got their ship from China with their product didn't arrive for 6 months. It got held up in customs. So, again, it goes to even after your campaign, you've got to be in communication with your contributors around what's going on. I waited a year and a half for this crush cup that you can actually smush together and then expand. It was a sustainability product. So reality in business is not what it looks like. Not always perfect and messy. It usually is messy. And you just have to be in communication with your contributors because there's under 10% of companies who do crowdfunding that do not fulfill their commitments. And it has hurt crowdfunding. People have been burned. So just something to realize. The next one is put your details of your budgeting in your campaign. Don't have to go into specifics, but just put marketing, $2,000. Product development, $3,000. You know, put the real numbers in the body of the campaign so people know what you're going to spend the money on. You don't have to spend all the time in the video doing that. Put that kind of stuff. People like to see you've thought out the financials, and it gives them confidence in investing in you. Basically, these are investments, and they may or may not see their ROI, and that's the hard truth. Learn how to syndicate. So what were you going to say, Steph?
I'm watching the time, so I just want to give people enough time to ask questions.
More.
And then, okay, so why don't we do this? If you have questions, go ahead and start
right
to put them in the chat box and continue to talk to Jared, and at the end, Jared will I'll point out the questions that you've asked. So go ahead and start putting your questions in the chat box. Okay.
Cool. So syndicate is something that we do. It's not sharing. So use companies like Buffer.com. So go over to Buffer.com, and this is good for any startup company, or Scoop.it, and learn how to syndicate your content. So remember I talked about that always be sharing? It's a way to share to 5 different channels or more in one step, saves you a ton of time, and it really makes you appear very big and you're really pushing out a lot of content. So use those two tools. They're both apps, and get them out into the world. All right. I want you to think long term about what can you live with just your MVP? If it's not going to be this beautiful product and it's going to be like this, you know, cheap little tripod from China, maybe that's just your MVP to get it out in the world and get people testing it. You can always make your product better. There's a famous saying that if you loved your first product, you waited way too long to get it out there. So you shouldn't love your first product. You just need to get something out into the world, get feedback, and make it better in each iteration. A little bit different with things like a book or a film, because those are pretty big hallmark things to create. But around just products, most products are not the best the first version. We've all seen that with phones and apps and operating systems. Usually the first is not the best. So just get it out there.
That's such a great point, because I talk a lot about that too with my clients. Is, you know, we all of us have a little bit of a perfectionist in us, and we're like, oh, I just got to get it perfect, and I got to do all this stuff first, and then I can launch it. And meanwhile, you know, it's 2-3 years down the line, and you haven't made any money. It's like, no, the way you're going to learn about what's going to make the product great is by getting some version of it out there. So I love that you shared, you know, you get something, and you keep building off of that.
Keep making it better. Get that prototype live. And figure out what that prototype is to just get it into people's hands. And it might actually dramatically change the, you know, the version of the final product. That's the interesting part. And then the last one is it's something that Stephanie and I and Brandon, we all believe in. It's like, please present with real authenticity, with integrity, that you will fulfill on your commitment to people. And if you present that in your video and in your languaging and your communication, it will greatly help your campaigns rise that you're presenting yourself. And I'm sure everyone today had that in mind. I'm just going to kind of put that in the world, that it's really important that you present this with integrity and with authenticity, and it's going to come through in the video and in the campaign that people will feel, and they will be more inclined to open their wallets, which is the real goal of funding your dreams and getting this off the ground. So with that, I'm going to kind of look at some questions and see what's next. So we got a question for Stephanie LaPau. Do you have any advice for crowdfunding for a new nonprofit organization? So depending on what the nonprofit is and what sector it hits, Stephanie, it's really important that you show how is this going to make an impact. Okay, what's the big impact? Because there's a lot of nonprofits out there. A lot of people are giving to nonprofits already, and they usually just have that donate button on their website. So how is your nonprofit different? Can you get it out into the world and start serving people and then ask for more funds? And would it help to have that donate button on your site? Do you have any other ideas?
Hannah also asked a question, but let me see. I agree. I think, you know, also with Stephanie, who happens to be an awesome client of mine, that, you know, have maybe testing it out, and like, I love the idea of maybe for Stephanie, she's got this great idea. Her organization would match families that have used the stroller, used the high chair, and it's still in great condition, and there's an underserved family that really desperately needs that, and how to directly match them. So you skip the Goodwill, you skip all that, and you directly match it. It's awesome. And so I think for her, if she could show, like, I could imagine, like, showing video of a family getting this awesome thing and interviewing people, that would be something really cool.
Yeah, hit the heart, hit the human, the humanness of this. Not the business side. I mean, it's good to show that you have the savviness to be able to pull it off, but really the heart of what you're doing, and that hopefully will get you over that hump to get people to open up and then open up to contribute. And you
it's
said
so
Hannah
great.
Had a question?
Yeah. And just to end on that.
Successful. yeah. This is a constantly changing number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said products, for products specifically. I don't know if you have.
Oh, for products.
If it makes a difference, yeah.
Products have a better chance of getting funded than service campaigns. I think they said that earlier. So it's because people are getting exclusivity. They can't buy this product in the store potentially. No one else has it in the world. So products in our culture and in our community have a higher social rank around funding because people get, ooh, this is a cool new widget. I want this new widget. No one else has it. So it has this exclusivity to it. With service businesses, it's harder to get those things off the ground. So I don't have an exact number, but I know for products it's higher than service campaigns. But really the name of the game is creating a great campaign. It's not just a service or a product. We've seen success with both. It's just most people don't do this work. They just literally have an idea. They launch it. They think the world's going to just open up their wallets, and it's just not the reality, at least not anymore. Maybe it was very in the beginning. But now each platform is very saturated. There's thousands of campaigns at any one time. And it's just not the way it is. You got to have a really sexy thing to get attention right now. You know.
What would you say, and please, that's great. If you have more questions, go ahead and put them in the chat box. But I had some questions that were kind of put in advance. And I would love to know, like, what would you say the top three things that someone should do to improve their success rate? You know, what are the top three mistakes that you see people do that has them fall
yeah.
into that failure rate?
Let's do the top three mistakes that people fail on crowdfunding. They don't have a strategy in advance going into it. A real strategy of how to plan this campaign out. So that's number one. The number two is they're unrealistic in their goals. They want $20,000, $50,000. It's just not realistic for what their community will support, and it's just not where people are going to back them. And then number three is they just can't communicate their message clearly enough about what it is. It's not relating. People are not relating with it directly enough to really get, like, well, that's great for you, and I'm glad you have this thing going. I don't know why, you know, classic marketing, what's in it for me? I'm really happy you want to do this thing. I just don't get how it impacts my life or makes my life better. And that is really, at the end of the day, what makes people contribute. What's in it for them, and how is their life going to be better by doing this thing?
Yeah, and it's so great because it's making me feel – it's just reassuring because this is something I drive home majorly with my clients from the very beginning. It's why are you doing business? And that the why has to have an emotional component for not for them. Like, if you have a business, you need to authentically relate to it. It needs to be meaningful to you, and it also needs to be meaningful to your client, because that's where really the psychology of sales, we think we make a logical purchase or logically donate to a campaign, but really it first happens emotionally and deeply in our psychology. And so I think it's like you got to be authentic. You have to do it with integrity. People are going to sniff that out, and it needs to be meaningful. And it needs to be meaningful in all of your messaging, as you said, and being able to communicate that clearly.
The beauty of authenticity is with video, so much is coming through. So much is being absorbed through watching video, is that it's really helpful to have that powerful video and leverage some of the emotional play that we can do in that world to help people get over that hump of like, this is really cool, this really does touch me. So video is one of these awesome new platforms that everybody has in their hand now to stream video, create video, and watch video that has that potential. And we're seeing that in so many different ways. So I think if there's one thing that you can do is learn how to message what you're doing authentically with integrity that gets people excited and it hits them emotionally. That they're making an emotional choice. They're actually being asked to make an emotional choice and not usually one out of just, oh, it's nice. It's just not going to get people to action anymore.
Yeah.
Too much noise in the world.
I know. And that's what I talk about a lot, too, when I'm speaking, is that we're hit with so much these days that people are actually looking for something that has more heart these days. So if you can ride that wave in your campaigns, you're going to be way more successful.
I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm just going to mention the three ways that we help people. So like I mentioned, we do three different things. We do crowdfunding consulting. So this is just an hourly consultation. If you're local, we can meet with you. And if not, we can do a web Skype. And that's $150 an hour. And you just contact me and let me know if we want to do a consultation on your project. The other one is a training platform. So we actually train you how to build some of this yourself. So how to build the campaign, how to build out the video, how to build out your perks platform. So those are actually pre-purchase packages of trainings. And the third one is the pro management, where we actually build the campaign, build the video for you. We do everything. And that's usually priced around a percentage of goal. And we usually have a minimum so that we know that our assets are covered literally. And then we have a maximum. So if you go well above on your goal, we want you to keep that money. So, and that's what we've done with a lot of campaigns. And it's roughly in the 8 to 12% range of your total goal.
Mm-hmm. And
people can learn more.
That's going to be my next.
People can learn more at bhmedia.co/crowdfunding. I just put that in here right now.
Okay. That was going to be my next question is like, okay, well, if someone's starting this, how do they get to you? Beat me to the punch. We have a couple minutes left, and I haven't gotten any more questions in the chat box, but I did have some that were emailed to me in advance, so I want to ask those.
I'm going to say goodbye to the Periscope folks. Bye, Periscope folks.
Okay. Bye, Periscope.
Periscope.tv. There you go, China.
Is crowdfunding a one-time thing? Like, can you do a crowdfunding more than once? I mean, I know Cheryl, for example, she did it for two albums. When would you see it just be done once versus maybe multiple times? And when should you do it multiple times? Do you have any thoughts
on that? Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is that you've already shown that obviously you hit a point in your business where you need the funding. And sometimes I actually do watch crowdfunding videos and I go, why don't you get a bank loan? Like, why don't you go and just get this thing funded with a VC or a bank loan or ask family and friends money to do it. And, you know, what the benefit of crowdfunding is you're trying to find a new audience and an audience that loves what you're up to, and you're trying to really hit a lot of people in that audience. So I think that's the real true benefit of crowdfunding, is that you find this big audience of people that you didn't know about and they didn't know about you. And so that's the beauty of crowdfunding. And yes, you can hit these landmark milestones in your business where you're like, yeah, we need to hit X new level. So Dr. Hops, we get them into the realm of reality. They exist now. They're creating a product. But I think there's a next level where it's like, all right, well, we want to launch nationally. We want to get into big brand stores. Or we want to get into XYZ. So they have the potential to do this again and leverage that first success into another campaign. So, yes, you can do multiples, depending on what your product is and where you're at in your business. But by then, hopefully, you're having some revenue coming in, and you actually can make some smart choices about how you reinvest that to grow it without having to, because it's a lot of work. I'm not going to, you know, paint that, and that's why we help people. It's a lot of work to try to run one of these things. Brandon's a good example. He was exhausted by the end of it. He was like, okay, good, we're done. It's a true business funding marathon, the best way to describe it.
Yeah, and I can't imagine having to do that on your own. You know, so I'm so glad that there's a service like you, because I think, you know, it's very human nature. Like, oh, I can do this on my own. That's how I started my business. And
yeah.
I burned myself out, and I was like, what am I doing? I need a coach. I need a mentor. I can't do this anymore. I'm spinning my wheels. So I'm so grateful that someone like you is available. And so people can reach you. If they want to get in touch with you to either get a consultation or one of your packages, it's bhmedia.co/crowdfunding. I think you had some downloads too. Can they get those downloads on that link as well?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a free download on there. And that's actually, I have it right here. So the title of it is The Top 10 Kicking Crowdfunding Strategies. So I can give you all the things in more depth that we talked about here today. And it's a good roadmap and strategy roadmap to go into a campaign with. There's another one that's for purchase, and that's actually the top 20 ultimate video steps. So how to create an ultimate video. I spent a lot and lot of time looking at videos, and I came up with this formula of creating a product video literally down to the second. The first 10 seconds is this. The second 20 seconds is this. So you don't have to follow it exactly to the second, but it gives you a really good plan of like what should be in my crowdfunding video. And it really helps people move them through an emotional process to opening up their wallet because they're trying it. So those are both on that website page. And people can always reach out to me. We do free media kind of initial strategy consults to figure out if we're the right solution for them. And I just want to encourage people to get support in any way possible, even if it's not through me. Get people you trust to work with you and team up with you. Make it a team effort and get some support to do these things because they are a lot of time and effort. And it's great if you have a team to lean on and other people to work with, even if it's not Stephanie and I.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just get some support. Don't do it alone. Find a person that's a good fit for you and just make sure that you've got a team. I don't see any other questions. It's a little past 8:30. I am so grateful. Thank you. I just can tell you've got so much information, expertise, and facts, and I could talk to you for hours and hours. Yeah, and just for those of you listening, it's so funny. When my boyfriend Brandon did his crowdfunding campaign and you did his video, you noticed that the color of shirt that he was wearing was conflicting with the background, and you literally gave the shirt off of your back to him so that he could have the perfect crowdfunding video. So if anything says who you are, Jared, it's that. And so just thank you so much for your generosity and your expertise and sharing your gifts with us today. And for those of you listening, if you're interested in learning more about how to work with Jared, go to bhmedia.co crowdfunding. We'll put that link underneath the recording of this video as well. If you're just starting a business and you need to get that strategy part put into place before you go to crowdfunding, I would be your lady for that. And you can learn more about me at trbe.org. So together we'll get you up and running, and it'll be awesome. Any last words, Jared, before we sign off?
No, I would just say, and this is how I ended, a different thing that we made is most people never go for it. They never put their ass on the line and play the game of life full out and never see if their dreams are possible. And it's like the 99.9% people just don't do it. And so I encourage everyone to just give it that all. See if they can kind of take that leap of faith. See what the world gives back to them. I know they'll learn something, even if it's not becoming infinitely wealthy in a financial sense. They're going to learn something about themselves through the process. So, you know, go for it. Try to use one of these platforms and see if you can raise some money to see if you can fund one of your dreams. Because it really changes your life after you do that.
Yeah.
You know.
It's so true. Life is too short to not live with passion. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jared. I hope people will be reaching out to you soon. And, I think there's a crowdfunding.
I smell a follow-up coming.
Yeah.
Second level.
Awesome.
All right, all. Have a great night. Good night,
all
from Oakland.
Bye, everyone.